The second reading this morning is from Thich Nhat Hanh, from his book, The Miracle of Mindfulness. If, while washing dishes, we think only of the cup of tea that awaits us, thus hurrying to get the dishes out of the way as if they were a nuisance, we are not washing the dishes to wash the dishes. What's more, we are not alive during the time that we are washing the dishes. In fact, we are completely incapable of realizing the miracle of life while standing at the sink. If we can't wash the dishes, the chances are we won't be able to drink our tea either. While drinking the cup of tea, we will only be thinking of other things, barely aware of the cup in our hands. Thus, we are sucked away into the future, and we are incapable of actually living 1 minute of life. I clean this teapot with the kind of attention I would have were I giving the baby Buddha or Jesus a bath. I invite you into a moment of silent meditation. Blessed be. I own a priceless work of art. And since it's not very likely on a minister's salary, I'm going to tell you how I came to own this great treasure. It was made by an artist named Matthew Strickland, who was the son of a friend of mine. When I first met him, Matthew was 5 years old, a bit shy and withdrawn, very introspective child. He was not yet very trusting of others outside of his family. And for a long time, Matthew and I had a relationship no closer than 5 or 6 feet. He kept a safe distance from me while he played and kind of watched me out of the corner of his eye. That first year that I knew Matthew and his family, I dropped by their house for a Christmas visit. I had been there only a few minutes when Matthew whispered something to his mother. She then said to me, "Matthew has something for you." So Matthew scurried around the corner and a few seconds later reappeared. He stopped on the other side of the room and we exchanged glances for a fleeting moment. I think he was deciding whether or not he could go through with his plan. But then he resolutely marched up to me and handed me the gift he had made. It was a collage the size of a large sheet of construction paper. Glued on it were tin foil stars, Cheerios, cutouts from the previous year's holiday cards, and a few other kind of household trinkets. And right in the middle, in his own writing, it said, "Lori." This is my priceless work of art. And it has become even more priceless as a young man, he has been racked with severe mental illness and institutionalization. So I cherish this gift from this beautiful child. And if you are inclined to doubt the value of my priceless work of art, consider these words from the philosopher Eric Fromm. The word art in the modern sense means a separate area of life. We have, on the one hand, the artist, a specialized profession, and on the other hand, the admirer and consumer of art. But this separation is a modern phenomenon. What about a Gothic cathedral, a Catholic ritual, an Indian rain dance, community singing, First Friday dancing? Are they art? We have no word for it because art, in a wide and general sense, as part of everybody's life, has lost its place in the world. So Matthew's art is not art in the modern exclusive sense, in which art is something done by the particularly gifted or a consumer item. Matthew's gift to me is extraordinary art because he used the material stuff of his everyday world to give form to his feelings and to express them to me. His piece of art was religious because it was about his experiences of love and trust and growing relationship. Matthew's art was ultimately about his changing understanding of his place in the world. So I want to define art not as something we make, but as how we relate to the world, how we wash the dishes. Not as a noun, but as a verb. So art is not is as much about how we do something as it is about what our actions produce. This puts art back into position to be claimed and lived by the many instead of just the few. This opens the door for us to stand art as a spiritual path that nurtures life and grows soul. Washing the dishes, choosing to bless the world, to offer that smile or kind word. Quiet in art, quiet in heart, and an eye clear. This is art as covenant with all life. Fromm said, "We have no word for art because art in a wide and general sense, as part of everybody's life, has lost its place in our world." For me, there is a word that expresses this meaning of art. There is a word that expresses how we ritually care for the soul. There is a word that means nurturing a style of life that seeks beauty and justice. And there is a word that symbolizes relationship to that which is mysterious and precious and holy. It's a word to which we as people of faith communities ought to have access. The word is sacrament. Now, if you have a negative reaction to that traditional sounding word, stay with me for a minute. The classic definition of sacrament is an outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace. An outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace. Now, hold that in one hand, and in the other hand, hold this. The philosopher Suzanne Langer has defined art as the process of creating perceptible forms expressive of human feeling, and that which gives form to inward experiences and makes them conceivable. That which gives form to inward experiences and makes them conceivable. Art and sacrament. Sacrament and art. I believe that these definitions of art and sacrament strike a similar chord, not by coincidence, but because they are saying the same thing in slightly different languages. I think both are talking about relationship. Relationship between the inner and outer worlds, between the seen and the unseen, and both art and sacrament about the human need to discover, in our individual ways, our relationship to the holy, however we understand that, and to the world. So art and sacrament are about our need to express these understandings in visible form, even if it's washing the dishes, or perhaps especially as we wash the dishes, or change the diaper. What if art is not something we make, but how we relate to the world? What if a sacrament is not a static thing, but participation in this mystery of connection, communion, and then transformation? Consider the chalice. Well, let's see. I guess this is your chalice here. A simple container, an ordinary match, a candle, becomes the UU flaming chalice. And this chalice connects us to our history during World War II, as the Unitarian Service Committee was born out of a need to those suffering the ravages of war. An artist, Hans Deutsch, designed the chalice logo, which was painted on trucks. The logo was meant to convey safety to the war refugees hiding in the countryside, desperate for food and housing. It meant, it is safe to come out. We are here. We can help. A simple drawing of a container and a flame means more than words can fully convey. Lighting the chalice connects you and I, here in this place on this morning, also to every other UU congregation around the world, lighting their chalice. When ordinary items express truth and beauty, mystery and covenant, they become art and sacrament. Art and sacrament are life in its profoundest shapes and colors and meanings. They are how we come to know the sacred in tangible material ways. It's how we choose to see blessing in the world and how we choose to be agents of blessing in response. The former Catholic theologian Matthew Fox, who was thrown out and became an Episcopal priest, for his beautiful writing, wrote this: "To be an artist is to be a soul thirsty for life. To be an artist is to know that we have the power and the choice to embody the sacred in our lives in any moment. To be an artist is to know that we therefore have the power to create and recreate again and again and again." In fact, each of you is an artist, in a sense, by being here this morning, because you are making the space. You are the congregation. You are the body this morning of the church. For me, growing plants and gardening is art. Tending the growth of new life is a sacrament that discloses to me the continual mystery of new life in my midst. Certainly the same is true of raising children. And that is why I think that raising children is so wonderful and frightening, exhausting, and exhilarating. It takes this constant devotion to this raw power of life in all its guises and energy. For me, baking bread is art. Beginning with the raw materials and kneading it with my own hands can be a sacramental act of justice, in which I remember all of my brothers and sisters who do not have daily bread, and then I'm inspired to act on their behalf. And I must remember what will happen if we destroy the earth, which is the true source of our bread, and that compels another sort of action. And the art of quilting is both art and sacrament to me. Out of seemingly useless scraps collected from here and there through one's life, a new and unique thing of beauty is created. And isn't that how our lives are? We have put together the joys and the sorrows, the successes and failures, the rough and the smooth. If we would be diligent in our search for a soulful, compassionate, and meaningful way of life, then we have to constantly take apart our old ideas of things, examine them, and put them back together. We have to continually make sense out of our myriad experiences. Cheerios, tinfoil stars, and images from the past put into new perspective. My belief is that our creativity is a fundamental human attribute based in the deep potential of our soulful power. It's a tool we not only can use, but that we need to use, both for the health of our own beings and for the world's good, to nurture and unleash creativity in a soulful and spiritual and religious act that is an act that reverberates through time and space. In a 1994 speech, Nelson Mandela said, "We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone, and we must let our own light shine. We unconsciously, as we shine, give other people permission to do the same." Our Unitarian relative, Henry David Thoreau, said this in another way in the 19th century. And as I read this, please forgive him, his masculine pronouns. "We must learn to reawaken and keep ourselves awake, not by mechanical aids, but by an infinite expectation of the dawn, which does not forsake us, in our soundest sleep. I know of no more encouraging fact than the questionable ability of humans to evaluate their lives, actually, I changed his pronouns, by a conscious endeavor. It is something to be able to paint a particular picture, to carve a statue, to make a few objects beautiful, but it's far more glorious to carve and paint the very atmosphere and medium through which we look, which we morally can do, to affect the quality of the day. That is the highest of arts. There are countless examples in human culture that remind us that paying attention to the mundane in our lives can transform the ordinary into the beautiful and the sacramental. The Japanese tea ceremony, Russian icon painting, Amish quilts and barn raisings, Cheerios and tinfoil stars, a flaming chalice, washing the dishes in the present moment. And Wendell Berry's geese high over us, illustrating with sky and wing that if we are spiritually awake and courageous, then what we need is here.